namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vishnu, that divine world, as described in the Rig Veda, Om Tat Sat Vishnu, Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam, and then the Nrisimha Tapani Upanishad was explaining that, and then the more elaborate explanation from the Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Purana? Yeah. Now, some more. In the Tapani Shruti, which Tapani? Let me open up the other version here. Nrisimha Tapani. Nrisimha Tapani Upanishad, yeah. So again in the Nrisimha Tapani Upanishad, there's something more said. Tapani Shrutau tu yatra na vayurvati ityadikam. Prakrita tat tan matra nishedatmakam tat tat shravanat. Well, the words where the wind doesn't blow, the sun doesn't shine, all these things are not there in Vaikuntha. It must be a pretty dark and dull place. What does that mean? No sun, no wind. These words, it's in the Tapani Shruti, the Nrisimha Tapani Upanishad, are meant only to deny the material counterparts of each of these. There's no material sun. Since the originals of each of them are heard of in the Shruti, the original sun is there, and there is mention of it in the Shruti. Okay? The original sun, there is spiritual wind, spiritual sun, and there are descriptions of such, even in the Upanishads and Vedas. Although actually there's not that much description of the spiritual world in the Upanishads. It mostly talks philosophical terms, but there is some actual description of the spiritual world, and there's mention of a spiritual sun and spiritual wind and so on. Jiva Goswami doesn't tell us exactly where, but we'll take his word on it. Yatu. But when we hear the following, which is Matu sapatnya va banaya ridi vidas tutan smaran naichan muktipadir muktim pastyatapamupeivan. This is from the fourth canto, ninth chapter. Dhruva Maharaja's heart, which was pierced by the arrows of the harsh words of his stepmother, was greatly aggrieved, and thus when he fixed upon his goal of life, he did not forget her misbehavior. He was meditating on Vishnu, but he couldn't forget how his stepmother mistreated him. But later he did not want liberation from the Lord of Liberation, and he felt remorse for having that material attachment. He felt sorry. What's the point here? We'll see in a minute. And also another statement, iti tata, aho bata mamanatmiyam mandabhagyasya pasyata bhavachida paramulam gadvayache tarantavat iti shri dhruvasya purnam manyata shriyate. We're hearing that, we're hearing the second statement from Dhruva. Alas, just look at me. I am so unfortunate. I approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can immediately cut the chain of the repetition of birth and death. But still out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable. Now, So, okay, we hear about Dhruva's considering himself incomplete in such statements. That is all reconciled, as Dhruva having said this, to condemn his own material intention to get a kingdom because his stepmother insulted him. He was trying just to condemn his own wrong intention. Having prayed with the desire to achieve a high position, and then having obtained from the Lord what was beyond his imagination, the Lord's feet. No, there's that. Okay, he didn't want liberation, not because liberation is not desirable. That, oh, get liberated, go to Vaikuntha, a place where there's no sun, no wind, no nothing. What do you want to go there for? So it's not that liberation is undesirable, but he was so ashamed of himself, he didn't want to ask for it. Okay, here's further explanation in the commentary. The passage of the Nrsimhatapani Upanishad, which introduced the mantra beginning Om Tat Vishnu, describes Lord Vishnu's world negatively. Okay, the Nrsimha Upanishad has all those negative terms. No sun, no wind. The wind does not blow there, nor does the sun, moon, and stars shine. These powers of material nature are not required there, because Vaikuntha is dazzlingly self-effulgent. And those who live there enjoy mobility without being pushed by the wind or other locomotion. Wind is used as a means of locomotion. Sailing ships use the wind to move. There's no need for that. People can go wherever they want. They don't even need airplanes. They can just fly in the sky in Vaikuntha. So there's no need for any external illumination. Now you may have a sun in the sky just for fun, just for the pastime, but you don't need it to provide light in Vaikuntha. If this world of Brahman is so desirable, then why did Dhruva not want it when his Lord offered it to him? Opponent may present that. Dhruva didn't want it. It's obviously not something desirable. Why was he sad to obtain it? Vaikuntha. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Dhruva was not actually refusing entrance into Vaikuntha, but he was ashamed of himself for not wanting it earlier. It's actually what he should have wanted, but he was wanting something material before. When he was childlessly obsessed with gaining a material position better than that of his great-grandfather, Brahma. By granting Dhruva's own planet, Lord Vishnu managed to satisfy his devotees' material and spiritual desires at the same time. Dhruva Loka stands above Brahma's Satyaloka, but it is free from all material inebrieties, even the most subtle. Dhruva need not be embarrassed to accept residence in this perfect reflection of Vaikuntha in the material realm. Okay, anyway, it's still maintained that Vaikuntha is desirable because it contains all desirable things. There's just nothing material there. Any questions? Yes, a slightly more complicated situation. The devotee is feeling remorse. But still, same basic program. The Lord gives him, even though he's asking, don't give it to me, he's giving it anyway. And everything works out fine. All his ambitions and desires, material and spiritual, are fulfilled. Okay, anything else? Yes.
In spiritual world, there is no material son, but there is a spiritual son.
There can be.
Yeah. So that is just for increasing the pastimes.
Yes.
So like for the increasing of pastimes, there is like now Lord Brahma is stealing the cows. So there is also spiritual Brahma kind of thing there.
You mean that same pastime?
Huh?
Is there a Brahma?
Because son is there.
What we read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is that Vaikuntha devotees disguise themselves as demigods sometimes, or they make themselves look like demigods. But they're not the same demigods. They're just devotees making themselves look like demigods for Krishna's pleasure. And sometimes they make themselves look like birds or demons or anything that will give Narayan pleasure. But it's really devotees in disguise.
In
Goloka. That's Vaikuntha, description in the chapter when Gopakumar goes to Vaikuntha.
So,
because in Goloka, everybody just appears like cowards in the Vrindavan part. But in Vaikuntha, devotees assume all sorts of forms for the various pleasures of Narayan, including demigod forms. But they're not official demigods, they're just devotees disguised as demigods.
So those devotees are the form of sun or moon to increase the pastimes?
Yeah, the sun, it's like in a drama. You know, you'll have a cardboard sun on the stage, it's not a real sun. So you have a play sun in Vaikuntha, just for the pastime. And the devotee will be the sun. Krishna has, even in Vaikuntha, there are different pastimes for different times of the year, different times of the day. So you have to have, to mark the time into the different kinds of seasons. You need this equipment. You need sun and stars and wind and snow and rain, all these things for the different times of the year.
So that spiritual sun is in Shantaras?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We're just guessing that there's a devotee. I don't know who he is and what his attitude is. I don't know. Yes. Yes. Well, sort of. It's a service. It's, he's doing something. He's not just watching. The yogis who are just meditating on the Supreme, they're passive. But even if he's just the sun in the sky, but he's doing service. He's providing light and whatever else he's doing. Just like Govardhan is called Haridasa Varya. Although he's just standing there, sitting there, a pile of rocks. But he's doing so much service. He's providing water and grass and trees and everything. That's considered Dasya Rasa. Yes.
But I heard the water of Jamuna is in Shantarasa.
Okay. Do you know where that's at? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of varieties. That's why we're just speculating about the sun and Vaikuntha. Never read about it, but I don't know. Okay, we'll continue. Tatra yevoktam Sri Vidurena. Now in the same chapter, describing Dhruva Maharaj, Vidura makes a comment, talking to Maitreya. Sudurlabham yat paramam padam hare iti. In that same place, Sri Vidura says, which supreme abode of Lord Hari is very difficult to attain? Okay. Oh. Well, difficult to obtain implies that it's desirable to obtain. If nobody wants it, something that nobody wants, you don't describe as difficult to attain because nobody's even trying to attain it. You know, so if it's difficult to attain, that must imply that there are people who are trying to get there, that it's desirable. That confirms that Dhruva, that the perfection that Dhruva refused wasn't something undesirable. Swayam Dhruva Priyena. And, oh, actually, I didn't read the translation. In the same place, no, I didn't read it. And Lord Dhruva Priya himself, that's Lord Vishnu, who came and gave blessings to Dhruva. Lord Dhruva Priya himself says the following. Tato ganta simatstanam sarvaloka namaskritam uparishtad vishibhyastvam yato navartate yatihi. That is from the same chapter. Lord Vishnu talking. After your material life in this body, you will go to my planet. It is situated above the sages. And having gone there, a renounced person never comes back to this material world. Sounds like a desirable place. Okay. And also, later on, Dhruva is going to be brought back to Vaikuntha by the Vishnu Dutas. And they tell Dhruva in the 12th chapter of the 4th canto, three chapters later. Shri Parshadabhyamapi Atishta Jagatam Vandyam Tad Vishnu Paramam Param. What they say is, come take your place in that supreme abode of Vishnu, which is honored by all the worlds. Tad Vishnu Paramam Param. And then, Sri Sutena cha Dhruvasya Vaikuntha Padari Rohanam. In case anybody doubts that he actually went to Vaikuntha, that maybe they were talking about bringing him to the Brahma Jyoti or something. No. The perfection that Dhruva achieved, and maybe it's really just the material planet, Dhruvaloka. And they're exaggerating. He didn't really go to Vaikuntha because he was still in the material world. But Suta Goswami says, back in later on, the next chapter, chapter 23. Suta. Dhruva's ascent to the abode of Vaikuntha. So he confirms, Dhruva, although he went to the pole star, which is still inside the shell of the universe, but Suta Goswami says he went to Vaikuntha. So that planet is Vaikuntha. Panchame Jyotish Chakra Varnane Cha Vishnur Yat Paramam Padam. The same words again in the fifth canto. Vishnur Yat Paramam Padam Pradakshinam Parikramiti Iti Yat Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Abhivadanti Iti Cha. Two different statements from the fifth canto. In the fifth canto, in the description of the sphere of celestial bodies, are the words describing Dhruvaloka, which supreme abode of Vishnu they circumambulate from right to left, other planets, sages and demigods, and the statement, which supreme abode of Vishnu they praise. That's about Dhruvaloka in the 22nd and then the 23rd chapter of the fifth canto. You can see Jiva Goswami, the kind of discussion here is not that complicated. He's making individual points about, you know, very thoroughly analyzing the Supreme Lord and his body and now his abode, and next is going to be a discussion of his devotees, how each of them are purely spiritual. And he very elaborately you know, proves these points with lots of references. But basically, it's a simple discussion. Now, okay, there's no commentary for this paragraph because it doesn't need any. So any questions anyway? Questions? Yes. Yeah. Well, let's understand it as a special, a particular Vaikuntha region. Like there are many planets in Vaikuntha. So Dhruva's planet is one of them. But it shows itself in the material world. That means, you know, Vaikuntha is all-pervading anyway. Material world is sitting on top of Vaikuntha. So it's like you cut a hole in the material world and Vaikuntha shows through. It's there anyway. That particular Vaikuntha planet is visible in the material world. It looks like it's inside the material world. I wouldn't say it's all of Vaikuntha, it's a particular Vaikuntha planet. So it's not different from part of Vaikuntha. Yes? Yeah, it's just, yeah. It is Vaikuntha, but it's a particular aspect of Vaikuntha. Like each devotee who goes to Vaikuntha, they will usually be in a certain planet, not that they're just wandering all over the place. Everybody has their residence. You may go visit some other place, but one particular place, one city is your home base. So there are all these different localities in Vaikuntha, and different devotees belong to different locations. Yes. And whatever we say about Dhruvaloka applies to Vaikuntha. It proves the point for Vaikuntha because it is Vaikuntha. It may not be all of Vaikuntha, but it's definitely Vaikuntha. Yes.
These spiritual planets, like in the 15th chapter, Krishna speaks about the Ashwatha tree. Like, it's the roots are up and the whole material, yes. This comes down like that. So where does these spiritual planets like Dhruva come, are placed in this Ashwatha tree? Because like they are from the spiritual world and like in the, but currently situated in the material world. So they also have some part in this Ashwatha tree?
Well, okay, like the real tree is above the ground, mm-hmm. above the water, and the reflected tree is just in the water, but it's not really there. But you can have part of the tree actually in the water. Just like the root of the tree may go into the water, the real tree, not just the reflection. So like that, the whole material world is an upside down reflection. But that reality of the real spiritual world is penetrating the material world. Just like the root of the tree going into the water. But anyway, that Banyan tree is not a map of the universe. It's not a physical map with the top planets. It's not a map of the planets. It's a diagram of karma and the Vedic sacrifices and desires. So it's not a physical map. You know, it doesn't show physically where the planets are in the material world. So it's not a question of where exactly it is on the map. It's not a map. Yeah. Yes?
Can someone desire to get this Dhruvaloka? And is it same as getting Vaikuntha-loka?
It's a Vaikuntha-loka. So you can worship Dhruvaloka, you can worship any particular Vaikuntha realm you're interested in. The Lord is appearing in different forms of Himself in each different spiritual planet. And you can be attracted to a particular form of the Lord and want to have a personal service with Him service relationship and worship and go to one or Dhruva Loka or any other loka that you that you're attracted to.
It's same as Vaikuntha.
It is Vaikuntha. But these are particular places of Vaikuntha.
I have more compassion about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Jigar Surupa Krishna, like all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. And
they're Krishna's servants.
They're Krishna's servants. Krishna is especially.
Okay, but if you're Krishna, Narayan is Krishna in a different form. He's an expansion of Krishna. Krishna in a different mood. So if you have a relationship, a service relationship with Narayan, that is a service relationship with Krishna, because Narayan is Krishna. He's not a different person.
But in our life,
it is a different mood, but the same, but you're still connecting to the same person.
And if someone is like the devotee of Dhruva Priya,
yes,
then ultimately he goes there.
He'll go there. He won't go to, you know, Ayodhya, he'll go to Dhruva Loka. He'll go to where the Lord, his worshipable Lord is.
He can't shift his like position, he's fixed.
Why should he want to change? If that's what he's attracted to, why should he want to go anywhere else?
If someone prays, then you know,
he can become... Okay, but if he's really fixed in that relationship, he's not going to be convinced by anybody. If he's not fixed, if it's not really his Swarupa, then he can be convinced about his real Swarupa. But Stayi Bhava means it doesn't get changed. That's just because someone comes and advertising something else, and you jump from one Swarupa to the next. Just because someone tells you something. Yes?
Just like so many Vaikuntha planets are there, Goloka is only one planet. But what is necessary for so many Vaikuntha planets?
Variety.
And why only one Goloka? Why not many?
Well, that one Goloka is all pervading. It's explained, I think, by Jiva Goswami in his commentary on Brahma Samhita, and we read it in the paraphrased by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in English, that actually the whole spiritual realm is pervaded mostly by Goloka. It's that big, Goloka is the big lotus flower. And the rest of Vaikuntha is just a small space in between the petals. So that one Goloka is filling up the whole spiritual sky to start with. They don't have room for another one. Why does it have to be any other spiritual realms besides Goloka? Krishna wants variety. He wants different kinds of devotees. He also wants some devotees worshipping him in awe and reverence. He likes that variety. And then there are devotees who, because of their constitutional nature, they want to worship the Lord in that mood. And the Lord provides the suitable place for that, Vaikuntha. Because he wants it, and then there are devotees who want it. Therefore, there's different Vaikunthas.
Yes. My question is, part of the question is, there's more variety in Goloka, which is very big and not very big. Vaikuntha is not having so many varieties as compared to Goloka. The Rasa is the only...
Still, yes.
But why there are so many planets of Vaikuntha? Goloka is one big planet.
Well, there's different neighborhoods of Goloka, they're just not called planets. Because it's not, they don't think of Goloka as some universe, it's just a county, what do you call it? Jilla, Mathura, Mandala is just a district. So, from the point of view of the residents there, they're just village people. Living in neighboring villages, they're not thinking about in terms of planets. It's just the mood. It's just a small countryside. Although it's actually much bigger than Vaikuntha and much more opulent, but that's not the mood to think like that, to see it like that. So they just think, we're just, this... we're living in the countryside outside of Mathura. They're not thinking about occupying the whole spiritual sky.
Okay. Yes.
One quotation from Bhagavatam, the children's day 4:26 said, Atishtha Jagada Bhagyam. So I think it's worship of all the words. It means that like Guru Devi and Guru Devi's worship of all the words.
Well, all the worlds means everybody in the worlds. The world, the actually who is Jagat, those are moving creatures. All the creatures in the universe is another meaning of Jagat, or the planets. Yeah, it could mean the presiding deities of all planets are worshipping, but also all the people in the universe. Yes. But Sarvaloka also means not only the planets and then the deities of those planets, but also everybody, all the people, Sarvaloka. The whole population. Yes? I would say even before he met the Lord, by the end of the 6 months, he had become totally purified. And he wasn't, he started off as a neophyte, but 6 months later he wasn't a neophyte anymore. That's not bad. That's good timing. If you can give up being a neophyte in 6 months. We have a problem that sometimes devotees stay a neophyte for 60 years. Yeah. So, you know, okay, he was a neophyte, but he graduated from that pretty quickly.
So his communication to both was his desirelessness, that he gave up all his desires, which is not for Vishnu.
Yeah. The intent desire to get Vishnu, even for a material purpose, burned up all his contamination. That's the point. That even though he had material ambition, and he wanted to use Vishnu to fulfill it, that desire to have Vishnu completely purified him. Because he stuck to it, he was stubborn about it, and therefore he got full benefit. But he didn't know it. He didn't have a concept of it. The first time he heard about Narayan was when his mother told him that he didn't know who that was.
So, you said that it was a looking at that moment, it was a material design.
Yes.
And then, because it was a right wall, which was about Krishna to come.
Yes. He wanted the right thing for the wrong reason. We better move on. Next paragraph. Prapanch antar gata twaipi tad dharma mukta twam. Okay, now another reason why Vaikuntha is transcendental. Going back to the list of 9 reasons. The next one. Even though it is located within the material creation. Oh, I'm sorry, no. No, we're still talking about Dhruvaloka. This is not one of the 9 reasons. This is just more about Dhruvaloka. Even though it is located within the material creation, it is free from its material, the material creation's qualities. According to a statement in the Vedanta Sutra, Vikaravarti chatata hi stitim aha is one of the sutras. Iti nyayena. If you ever see this phrase, nyaya or nyayena, often that's referring to Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is called nyaya, logic. The statement is, the liberated soul is no longer within the realm of change, since the scripture describes his situation thus. That's what the Vedanta says. So, Dhruva was given liberation. Vishnu said that, I'm giving you liberation. He went to this Dhruva planet, but the Vedanta Sutra says that a liberated soul doesn't remain in the material realm of change. So that place where he went must be the spiritual world, even though it was inside the material world. Ato asmin loke prapanchikasya bahir amshasyaiva pralayogyaya tasya tu tadanim antardananeva. Therefore we should understand that there is annihilation in this planet only of its external material part. At the end of the universe, there is like an outer material shell of Dhruvaloka, sort of a shadow of it. That is destroyed at the end of the universe. And at that time, the planet itself simply becomes unmanifest. The material world is destroyed, so whatever is external surrounding Dhruvaloka, covering it, that is destroyed. Dhruvaloka itself just becomes invisible. Invisible to materialize. Etad alam yaiva Hiranyakashipunoktam. Now we're citing Hiranyakashipu's authority. It was in these terms that Hiranyakashipu said, Kim anyai kala nirdutai kalpante vaishnavadi bihi iti. What is the importance of other worlds like that of Vishnu, which are wiped out by the time at the end of Brahma's day? By that time? By time. Okay, so Hiranyakashipu, he's already conquered all the worlds inside the universe. So he's saying, well, I don't care if there's something outside the universe. What's the importance of them? They're also destroyed. Even Vaikuntha's destroyed at the end of Brahma's day. Okay, he thinks that, but what actually happens at the end of Brahma's day is that Dhruvaloka and any other Vaikuntha realm inside the material world simply becomes invisible. Ato ajapi ye tata vananti tepi tatulya iti bhavaha. Therefore, it is implied, those who speak as Hiranyakashipu even today are just like him. In other words, anybody who says that Dhruvaloka is material is talking just like Hiranyakashipu. Now the commentary here. Several trusted authorities confirm the spiritual status of Dhruvaloka. Sudha Goswami directly calls it Vaikuntha. Great souls know the truth of Vishnu Loka, but demons like Hiranyakashipu only know its superficial aspects. He heard about it, but he has a totally material understanding of Vaikuntha. Such atheists think the personality of Godhead an ordinary person and his abode an ordinary place. While describing the success of a soul who has attained liberation from material existence, the Vedanta Sutras stipulate that although the liberated soul is free to do almost anything he desires, he cannot create and maintain entire universes as God does. That's a point made in the Vedanta Sutra. A liberated soul gets so many powers and perfections, but one thing he can't do is create the whole universe. But then one might question, if that's so, if you can't create your own universe when you're liberated, then all the liberated soul can enjoy is still limited and temporary. And thus his liberated life is not really different from material life, because he can't create his own universe. No, the sutra here cited replies. The liberated soul has entered the spiritual realm, free from the changes of matter. He doesn't make his own world, but he can enter the Supreme Lord's world. As the Kathopanishad 2.2.1 declares, Puram ekadashadvaram ajasya vakra cetasaha anushtaya nashochati vibuktascha vimuchyate. The city of 11 gates, Vaikuntha, belongs to the unborn Lord, whose awareness is never subject to contortions. Taking up residence there, one never laments. Free from limitations, he is liberated. I don't know where I got that verse from. I don't remember it, but it's there in the commentary. Maybe it's some footnote in one of the editions. Katopanishad, talking about Vaikuntha. So the spiritual world is, there is some description of the actual spiritual world, Vaikuntha. There is some description of it in the Upanishads. Any questions? Yes?
I know the moment that Krishna is born is the 64 qualities of Krishna. In the first 56, I think, it belongs to just living in an entity, living beings, and then to achieve that.
Yes?
One of the core special qualities of qualities of Lord Narayana is that can
yes.
create conveniences. So, but I want to ask, where from
that's who? Who took
it?
Where did he get it from? I don't know. I'd have to look at the nectar in the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. I don't think that's a quotation from anything. It's his own words. And you're asking, where does he get that information from? Good question, but I don't know the answer. We can see if we can find it, maybe in Pancharatra or someplace. Probably not, because we're comparing Krishna's opulences to the opulences of Narayana. Krishna's opulences are only revealed in a few scriptures. So I really don't know. We try to find out where this knowledge comes from. Maybe it's just Rupa Goswami's own realization. Yes?
Gave us a few arguments for those when we speak with the holders of Lord Shiva, because there are a few qualities for Lord Narayana which Lord Shiva doesn't.
Yes.
Yes. So it seems like it's very strong arguments.
Have you tried it? You tried arguing with the Shaivite? Go down the hill and find one and try to convince him. Yes.
Why Jiva Goswami quoted what's the reason he quoted Hiranyakashipu?
Let's see. Well, he wanted to make this funny point at the end that people who think that Dhruvaloka is material, they're just like Hiranyakashipu. He's showing that only a demon would consider the Lord's own abode to be material. You got to be a demon to think like that. And he quoted Hiranyakashipu as a prime example of misunderstanding the nature of Vaikuntha. Yeah.
Why couldn't you call Ekadasi Dwaram from?
Why does it have 11 gates? I don't know. There are. That's a good question, but we'd have to look at the commentaries on the Katopanishad to answer that one. If you want to go to a library upstairs and pull down the Katopanishad, bring it to me, I'll look at the commentaries. Why it has 11 gates? There are seven walls surrounding Vaikuntha, but there are gates on each side, four sides. So you could count 7 times 4, 28 gates altogether. But why 11? I don't know. Yes?
I find it puzzling to comprehend the fact that the unlimited is within
the limited. Yeah, but it is. The super soul is inside every atom. And wherever he's present, the whole spiritual world is there with him. Inside every atom. Let's speak of somewhere above Brahma Loka. That's a mystery. He could play those tricks. He could do that.
How do we explain to a non-devotee?
It's just the inconceivable potency of the Lord that he could. He's infinite to start with, and he can make himself medium size. He can come down to our size, so that we can have a relationship with him. But actually, he's the all-pervading Supreme Lord. The universe is contained inside his belly. It's contained within him, and still he's appearing within it. It just means that the Lord is operating according to different rules than we are. He doesn't have to conform to the laws of time, material time and space. A lot of people won't be able to understand that, no matter what you tell them. It's just, you have to have some mercy to be able to understand that. Yes?
Also about the statement from the Dhamma Sutra that the merit of soul is not that even situated in the realm of change. So does it mean that while in this material world, yet when one is already liberated, he creates a special reality
Well, you don't have to create a world. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Because, you can understand that one is liberated and he creates a spiritual world, and
yes. Well, he's not creating some, bubble around himself, some artificial atmosphere, Vaikuntha atmosphere. It's inside his heart. Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, manifests inside the heart of a pure devotee. Even he's still trapped inside the shell of this material body. In his heart, he's experiencing Vaikuntha, or Krishna and the spiritual world. That's Jivan Mukta.
His consciousness is spiritual, his
body. Yeah, the body's still material, but he's just dragging that body around. And eventually he gives it up and goes right back to the spiritual world. Okay. 10:20, we should stop. So we'll continue 71.7 tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.